The Koshkosh returns after an action-packed week of football. In the Champions League, Juve go morata-tat-tat as they gun down Real Madrid, and Barcelona get through despite doing a poor job of parking the Busquets against Bayern. The Premiership is also a treat. It's Mane mania against Villa, Gerrard doesn't fare well on his farewell, and Leroy gets his fair share as QPR put Newcastle in danger of a final day relegation. There's news from Europe and Toronto FC, our regular features, and a terribly exciting segment named Other Stuff. You can't wait, and neither can we. Welcome back to the Koshcast. We are playing with a front two this weekend, but only a front two. It's just me and Mahanad, just the two of us building castles in the sky. Mahanad, we've been abandoned.
We have been abandoned, but you know, I don't feel too bad. If I had to pick one Alex of the other three, it would have always been you.
Thank you. That's a very pragmatic and diplomatic move.
Yeah, I think just to give the listeners, I guess, bit of a summary of where everyone is. Roche is somewhere in the US attending a wedding.
New Jersey.
New Jersey. Okay. Yeah. Probably getting married to an Italian.
Maybe. Right. Or someone probably is. Yeah.
Well, not him. No, just to be clear. We would hopefully be there. I hope.
I hope so. Yeah.
And Bernie's in Banff, which is in Calgary.
Yeah. Yeah. So but not like skiing or anything. Just
no
looking.
Bernie can't ski.
Nor can I, to be fair.
Right. Yeah. Okay, you both can't swim either.
Correct.
Great. We'll be talking about a lot of sinking this weekend.
Yes.
But let's start at the top of the table, top-ish. United Arsenal. It's sad that the United fans weren't here to enjoy that game with us.
Yeah. Well, I mean, they weren't in Manchester either, but...
True.
But, from an Arsenal perspective, which is, you know, sadly all we've got this week...
Exactly.
It was a pretty horrible game. Arsenal did that thing... I mean, you mentioned it during the game that it was more down to kind of the mentality that Arsenal always get playing Manchester United. And it could... Because I was questioning why they were sitting so deep.
Yeah.
Especially when Manchester United... Up front had Falcao, who can't move.
No.
I mean, he's just a busted flush.
Every time he took a couple of steps, you could see him, like, panting.
Yeah. No. And he was falling over all the time, too. I mean, a lot of them were. But, so through the middle, Falcao and Fellaini. Mm-hmm. And granted, they had pace on the wings in Valencia and Young, but, you know, if one of those was to receive a through ball, it's not as if Fellaini or Falcao would be able to catch up with them. So I was asking, why are Arsenal defending so deep?
You're right. The idea was that, it seems that Arsenal go into playing United always with a disadvantage regardless. Mentally, it's always been this mental block that Arsenal have every time they face United in any competition. People keep bringing up, well, Arsenal beat them in the FA Cup early in the season. Sure, but it was 1-1. United scored a great goal, and the only reason Arsenal won is because Valencia decided to just have a bad...
Give the ball
exactly.
To
Werner. Yeah. And it just seems like... Every time Arsenal face United, United always seem to be, in quotations, the underdog. Either a lot of players are injured, or a lot of people are out, or there's suspensions, or whatever it is. And then that always kind of puts more pressure on the Arsenal side that, well, this one you should really win. Because I think the status Arsenal hasn't beaten United in like 10 years at Old Trafford or something ridiculous like that. All of them under Arsene Wenger. But yeah, like you said, United play on the wings. And if you want to... give Arsenal trouble, any team, play on the wings and put a lot of crosses in. I think we were laughing in the game that Arsenal doesn't seem to think that the back post is part of the field.
No. They completely abandon it. It's like, you know, the distant outpost of the empire.
Yeah.
It's like, we'll send someone there once in a while, but, you know.
It's like closer to the ball is more important.
Yeah.
But more to this game in particular, Herrera scored a really good goal. Again, everyone knows Young is... I mean, I think we laughed the fact that Old Trafford gets all jittery and stuff when the Young gets the ball, which is crazy to say.
I mean, he's basically their star player at the moment. Most of their good stuff goes through him. And we've seen it over the last few weeks. The Young cuts in, puts across to the back post, and there's Fellaini, or in this case, as you said, Herrera.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a feature... I mean, Arsenal, they weren't really parking the bus per se, but as we said, they were playing deep, they were playing defensive and looking to break. And you could see on that Herrera goal, which was a brilliant finish, but
Alexis just kind of stopped tracking him.
Yeah.
And so it's difficult to play that kind of defensive game when you have such naturally attack-minded players like Alexis, like Ozil.
You're right.
Even Ramsey does a defensive job, but his instinct is to just go forward.
Yeah, I mean, the same point is that Ramsey didn't really help up Bellerin in the first, let's say, 20, 30 minutes of the game whatsoever, and he just left him out to dry against Young.
Yeah, Cotelam screaming at him to come over.
Yeah, yeah. But the problem is, I mean, I know Sanchez was at fault there, but Monreal, this is the second game in a row where it's kind of his area at the back there. Against Swansea, it was the Gomis again in the same area. Like, it just feels like every time the ball's in the air, he doesn't win them.
No, I mean, he's not a very big guy anyway. But that attack, you have to say well done to United. Or maybe this was just bad defending on Arsenal's part, because United had four players in the box and Arsenal had three. I mean,
correct.
That should never happen defensively.
You're right. I agree. And then, so United were 1-0 up until like the 70th minute. Arsene Wenger made some changes, brought on Wilshere and Walcott, which is really the changes he was always going to make in any game against anyone if you're...
No other options.
Wilshere played great, I thought. He gave us that kind of drive through the midfield that we were lacking. Because Orla looked a bit fatigued. He got subbed.
He did. And the thing, you know, when Walcott comes on, it's not as though you think, right, this is the guy that's definitely going to change the game.
Yeah.
But Arsenal desperately needed pace because they were trying to play on the counter-attack, but Sanchez was the only quick player they had in the front four. And so just having that outlet made a lot of difference.
True. I think also unfortunate for United was that Rojo was playing a very good game, but the same time when Walcott subbed on coincided with Blackett coming on for Rojo, I think an injury.
Yeah.
So Blackett just also wasn't in the game and he got beat a couple of times, and then eventually his deflection from Walcott, I guess cross/shot, went in.
Valdez, you never know with Walcott.
You never know with Walcott. Valdez was actually in goal because De Gea got injured.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, because you do, when you look at that goal, you do feel like De Gea with the quicker reflexes might have got to that. But Valdez making his United debut. I was saying to you, but as we were watching the game, like I don't even remember what he looks like anymore. We haven't seen him in so long.
You literally said, I haven't even seen him on the bench. The minute you said that, they patted him on the bench. And then he got to come on. But a couple of funny moments, actually. Well, not the second one is more funny than this first one. But Falcao, when he got subbed, he kind of waved to the crowd, clapped them. It looked like, okay, this is my last appearance at Old Trafford. See you guys. Well, never.
Yeah. I mean, either he knows something that we don't, or he's just making the assumption that we're all making.
I hope he'd know. I mean, who else would know?
Well,
if it's not Falcao.
Yeah. Well, his agent.
His agent, yeah. Seems to know a lot more than players.
Old Jorge.
And then the second one was Phil Jones, who, again, just keeps giving us these moments. First the faces, and today he was flopping around like a fish out of water.
It really was like watching Planet Earth, like the slow-mo with, you know, the giraffe falling down and flinging his head.
Yeah.
It was just incredible.
I mean, Drew was just, I mean, I don't know what he was doing, but I had a feeling he could have sorted his legs out a bit faster. Like, I mean, I don't know, but Jones gave us a brilliant piece of comedy and we laughed. We laughed our hearts out.
Absolutely. And on Drew, I think 9 times out of 10, you could say that he could have sorted his legs out faster.
Yeah, true. You know. Very true. Yeah. A couple of transfer things related to this game. De Gea, transfer talks broke down last week. Contract talks. I don't know. It looks like even Van Gaal in his comments was kind of like he kind of was defeated.
Yeah, he basically said it's up to him. And, you know, it's a Spanish club that's coming in for him and Real Madrid, so it's difficult for him. We'll see. I mean, it does look like he might be gone.
Yeah. Kane was another one that was linked. We're not going to entertain whether it's true or not. Just the fact that, do you think it's a good move?
I think it depends. I mean, yeah. I mean, ultimately, he is a guy that scores, 25 goals. And if you assume that Falcao is gone, Van Persie, whether he stays or not, he's done.
Yeah.
The guy can barely move. And so that leaves you with Rooney.
Yeah.
Maybe they bring Chicharito back, but probably not, because Van Gaal can't work with South Americans or Central Americans as well. I mean, would Kane want to come and sit on the bench and be Rooney's sub? Probably not, but if we take away whether it's true or not, it would be a decent
move. Also, Van Gaal, you never know what formation he's going to play with. It's literally different every game.
It's true.
Okay, so 1-1, that puts Arsenal firmly in second, United firmly in third. Third and fourth. The top four are done. Now it's just a question whether Arsenal and United stay at second and third respectively. I think it looks like it should. Arsenal's next two games are Sunderland and West Brom at home. Should be doable.
Should be. Yeah. I mean, Arsenal always have West Brom on the last day of the season and always win by a scrappy Koscielny goal. So.
Yeah, it's always when it's scrappy, it's Koscielny.
Yeah.
It used to be Vermaelen.
I know.
Okay, so Southampton Villa as well. Crazy game.
That was fun.
I remember it was like a 7:30 game. I didn't wake up. I set my alarm for the second half, which was a huge mistake. I think the first half ended 5-0 Southampton.
Yeah.
Mane with a 2-minute 50-second hat trick.
The quickest Premier League hat trick of all time.
Robbie Fowler's
record.
He's drinking his miseries.
Yeah, it's the last thing he was clinging on to.
Mm-hmm.
No, me record.
That's true. But yeah, that was amazing. To see in highlights at least. And then Shane Long had two incredible. The second one was fantastic.
Beautiful. Just looked up, placed it in the top right. But it was an odd feature. I mean, while we were talking about how Arsenal should have played a higher line, why Villa were playing a high line when your back four includes Vlaar and Okoro, who are as mobile as Van Persie? He's just beyond me. Especially when Mane is, he's rapid.
You're right. Beats me as well. But what comes out of this game is Villa lost 6-1, but they are now safe and not getting relegated. Yeah. Funny how that happens. Yeah.
I know. So they can rest players next weekend in preparation for the cup final.
Exactly. Another team that is not safe. Well, Villa is safe. Team that is not safe is Newcastle. I still can't wrap my head around how they got dragged into this battle. It seemed like everything was fine. I remember one of the podcasts. We said they're on the beach. They're done.
Yeah. I think what they did was lose every game.
That would do it.
Yeah, I think that's what's done it. They're an unbelievable run of terrible form. It's just the players don't care. The management is useless.
But they've got the best coach in the league.
Best coach in the league.
Yeah.
Lost
2-1 to QPR. They opened the scoring and it looked all good. Yeah, QPR is already down. They're probably not playing seriously, blah, blah, blah. And then QPR came back 2-1 with Farron Phillips.
Matty Phillips adding to his records, his stats this year, which are brilliant. One of the top assisters in Europe now adds a goal to his name. And Leroy Fair with an absolute bomb blaster of a finish.
Corella bomb blaster.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was a very good goal. And, I mean, even the QPR fans after the game stormed the pitch and kind of had a little celebration of end-of-season celebration. It was weird.
I mean, nothing else to do, I suppose. Yeah. Also, Rob Green got knocked out and was staggering around.
True, He got subbed, yeah.
But yeah, so Newcastle could still get relegated on the last day of the season should they lose and Hull win.
Well, speaking of Hull, they lost to Tottenham 2-0
yep.
At White Hart Lane. Chadley and Rose scoring the goals. Rose with his fourth one, equaling Di Maria's goal-scoring exploit this season.
Yeah, I mean, you could argue that Rose has just been a better player all round than Angel Di Maria. Who would have thunk it?
Even last season, I think.
Harsh.
But yeah, Rose I don't know what he was doing with his hair. I think he said he meant it to be purple.
Yeah.
Why purple, though? Okay, fine, I get it. Not red, but why purple?
Couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
I feel like maybe Benoit Suakoto has had a word with him, like, listen, bro, if you want to be good Tottenham left back, you must do something crazy.
True.
But it was a lovely goal. I mean, he sliced the finish, but the through dink from Mason was a lovely piece.
Lamella assisted the first goal. He's now Spurs' top assister.
Does that so worth the money?
Yeah, that's like 7 million in assist. That's definitely worth it in today's market. Yeah. But now Hull are sitting in third place from the bottom. They need to beat United next week to stay up.
They need to beat United and have Newcastle lose.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just the beat United part. I was saying maybe United can do their old player a favor with Steve Bruce there.
Hull's finishing is so bad that even if you try to let them win, they might fail.
And the thing with Jelovic is I think he goes for double kicks and side kicks. Even though it would be easier to side foot it in. I don't know. He just seems to always be in midair doing some acrobatics.
Disclaimer, by double kick, Mohamed means bicycle kick.
He has been through this last podcast. What else happened? Before moving on to the Liverpool, Crystal Palace, Gerrard stuff, let's run through the others really quickly. Sunderland and Leicester.
0-0.
Yes. Leicester now safe.
Yep.
Unbelievable.
Jinx. Yes. The run that they've been on is incredible. What else is there to say about it? They just put this unbelievable run together. They got the first 19 points in the first 29 games.
Yes.
And the other 19 points since. It's fantastic.
It is. And I keep saying this, but it's actually blowing my mind how, like, everyone said Leicester, granted, are down. Now let's look at the other two spots. And then they won, yeah, like 7 out of 8 and only lost to Chelsea in that run. Unbelievable. It's crazy how these things happen. Like,
I think,
put yourself in a Leicester fan's shoe. He's just, like, going insane.
Yeah. It's great. And the thing is that Leicester actually have money, so they can invest.
Yeah.
And especially with the new TV deal, everyone can. Yeah, but exactly. So they can invest. And isn't it lovely to see Esteban Cambiaso leading a team out of a relegation zone?
Yes.
It's just beautiful.
Class is class. Like, yeah, you can't help it. Like, sure, you're slowed down, but if you know what you're doing on the field, then that's it.
He actually had one of my favourite moments of the season when... do you remember when Leicester played Man City?
Mm-hmm.
And he took a really speculative free kick from, like, 40 yards and Hart saved it and they both gave each other the thumbs up.
Yeah.
Lovely stuff.
True. But also, Sunderland, they're almost safe. They got a point in this game. And we'll look at what that means in the table, but they are almost there.
Yep.
It's more like Hull and Newcastle at this point, really. West Ham Everton was an absolutely useless game. Doesn't mean anything. I mean, not a big deal. Except we get to talk about Allardyce.
Yeah, I mean, the only reason he would have cared about winning this is to give him a bit more leverage when it comes to his contract negotiations.
True.
But
I mean, are they even entering contract negotiations?
Basically, the party line is, we'll talk about it once the season is over.
We'll talk about it once we hire someone else.
Yeah, exactly. And rumour has it, and the rumours are getting seriously strong, that it might actually be Rafa Benitez.
That would be... I don't know. It would be a step down for him, I feel. I feel he's bigger than that.
I totally agree, but he wants to be in the Premier League so badly.
Liverpool.
And the option... Well,
Him and Gerrard never saw eye to eye. Gerrard's gone. Yeah, we trust you, Brendan, and everything, but I think Benitez would be great.
We'll see.
Bring a couple of Napoli players?
Yeah, and like Igor Biscan.
Yeah. Prior to last, is that even a word?
Yes.
Swansea 2, City 4. If City were ever going to drop points before the end of the season, it was going to be this game. Oh, wait, Swansea. Swansea played well, scored 2 goals, but City, I saw this game, some of the play was amazing.
And
Aguero, Silva, Yaya were just on fire this game.
Yaya looked kind of back to being Yaya.
Yeah, exactly, true. I mean, his goal, you said when you saw it, was just typical.
Just kind of romps forward, smashes it in from the edge of the box.
True. Boney scoring.
Gomis with a lovely goal and an even better celebration. I love that crawling thing.
Yeah, it's nice. It's a bit Lion King.
Yeah.
Exactly. Joe Hart with an incredible save.
A strong wrist.
Yeah, it is. It's literally, it's all about that flick of the wrist.
Yeah, well, it's like, not only did he reach the ball, he then flicked it over the bar.
Correct, because it easily could have just kind of touched him and went in, and that no one would have said anything. It was a great goal. So now City are firmly in second. Swansea are still on course. Well, they are already for their best finish of a season ever. Brilliant from them this season.
Yeah.
Very quiet, kind of under the radar.
That's, you know, once you sell your star player and everyone else just kind of pitches in, and yeah, Monk's done a great job. Definitely contention for manager of the year.
Definitely.
At least in my opinion. And he said something interesting recently, and it's something that a lot of managers have said, but he wants to do as well as they can in the league, but he knows that if they get into the Europa League, they simply don't have the squad for it.
Yeah.
And he can't go out and buy an extra, you know, 8 or 9 players to have that rotation.
Well, how fair would it be to, like, play to not be in the Europa League?
It's difficult.
I mean,
you look at Spurs and Southampton and Liverpool and over the last few weeks, and I know, you know, Southampton and Spurs both won this week, but you could have been forgiven for looking at their recent performances and saying, I think they're not really trying here.
Yes.
They're all in difficult positions because no one really wants to be in it, but also the professional pride is too much.
That's true. The last game we want to talk about is the Liverpool Crystal Palace. It was, the occasion wasn't really the game.
No.
It was Steven Gerrard's, I was going to say Christian Gerrard. It's like, I've already forgot about it.
Yep.
He's already left.
Yep.
Steven Gerrard's final game at Anfield, I think 700 something, ridiculous amount. 500 of them in the league, 119 goals. He's been, I mean, when you think Premier League, you think Gerrard. Like,
yes, yeah. I don't know, mainstay. I do want to point out something the commentator said before the game, though. This is on radio commentary. He said, you know, that Gerrard was doing the hand, the high fives, and the daughter and all that stuff. And the commentator goes, Gerrard's really going to enjoy this 90 minutes. Of course, unless anything terrible happens. But I'm sure it won't.
Jinx.
Perfect.
What a jinx. Perfect. The other commentator in the field, one in Anfield, he said, yeah, 700 games, 500 in the league, 100. Like, he's welcoming Gerrard on the field. He said, and he almost won everything. I said, you think, are you a Manchester United fan in this guy? Just leave that out, you know? Yeah,
don't mention it.
Yeah, but it was a nice moment. There was a guard of honor. You could tell he was a bit uncomfortable with the whole, like, just everyone, like,
kind of, wouldn't you be?
Yeah. His three daughters were on there, all dressed like Spanish matadors. I don't know. I mean, it looked fine. It's just, I don't get it.
Yeah, sure.
Whatever, I don't care.
Yeah.
It's, yeah. So, and then Liverpool went on to win the game.
Or did they?
1-0, they went up with a Lallana. Really nice finish.
Very nice finish. I mean, we've seen him in kind of fits and starts this season, like moments of brilliance. But this was, you know, properly reminiscent of what he was doing last season for Southampton.
Yeah, true. I mean, we expected much more from him this season, to be honest, because last season he was fantastic.
Yeah.
And then Crystal Palace, just Bolasie and Puncheon decided to start running. And when they start running, they don't stop.
No. Well, especially against a defence as weak as Liverpool's.
Lovren had an unbelievably bad day.
Or was it? I mean, maybe it was totally believable. I was just getting to that point with him where you're like, he can't be as bad as he looks every week.
Especially because we've seen him last year.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know how that happens. It's like, you're the same guy.
I know.
But yeah, Bolasie was just all over them. Every time he got the ball, you could see everyone in Anfield was like,
yep.
Unbelievable.
Pardew slapped a 60 million price tag on him. So,
yeah.
He must be good.
Exactly. And there's also a little matter of Brendan we trust, a little plane kind of flying over. Some guy on Twitter was like, I've never believed so hard in something that I've had to hire a plane to say it. And it made me laugh.
No, I don't even have a political stance I would buy a plane for.
Exactly. But so yeah, Crystal Palace party poopers. 3-1 at Anfield, and that's Liverpool basically done for top four.
Yeah, so they'll probably be in the Europa League. I think
they will be fifth at
the moment as it stands. It's going to be a really interesting summer for them because they bought so many players last season that you can't add that many more players this season. The problem being, so many of the players they bought last season have turned out to be duds. And so how do you rejuvenate the squad without blowing another whole load of, you know, another 100 million? It's going to be very, very difficult.
Well, that's the thing. That's a story that has been going on with both Spurs and Liverpool.
Yeah.
That the Bale money was wasted and now the Suarez money is wasted. And it's like, you got 80 million for Suarez. Just like, I don't know. You know, like, buy 3 30 million guys.
Well, but the thing is that now the chance is gone because at that time they had Champions League football to offer.
Exactly.
And now they don't.
Exactly.
And so it makes it even more difficult. How do you move someone like Balotelli? How do you, like...
It feels like Liverpool were on the up. They had a bad patch earlier then with Suarez, and they played really well, got in the Champions League. At this point, like, they've made it. They've made it, like, their 7 years of struggle or whatever.
Yeah.
And then now it all just fell apart again in one season.
Yeah.
They're starting all over, again in the Europa, again trying to attract top players. Like,
yeah. And I think next season is really the test of Brendan Rodgers because the first season, he takes over a weird squad from Roy Hodgson. You know, he gets them, I forget what they finished, maybe was it seventh
or
something like that. And that was fair enough. And then the second season, he massively overachieved. No one would have expected them to finish second or even have a title chance, right? And they did.
They slipped up. Yeah.
And then this season, you kind of feel, I mean, while it's been disappointing, it wouldn't have been disappointing had they not finished second the year before.
Yes.
It's very relative. And so I think fifth is about where Liverpool should be, really. So where he takes them next season, I think, will define his career at Liverpool.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, because Rafa Benitez is kind of hanging out in the on the sidelines there, waiting to kind of, I think, I know, I'd take the job back if I was him.
Oh, he would love to.
He would love to.
Yeah. And you would love him too, because you're his biggest fan.
Yeah, I am.
Yeah.
All right. Momo of the week.
Momo.
Of the week.
Of the week.
Our first candidate this week, despite Crystal Palace's 3-1 win over Liverpool, is Alan Pardew. He said something that so bizarre that really went under the radar. I mean, it was in the media, which is obviously why we know about it.
I think he got the benefit of the doubt.
He got something. Mm-hmm. So he was talking about Jason Puncheon, who recently signed a new contract, and he said this. You mustn't underestimate the influence he has over young players here. Our academy, and I don't have a problem saying it, is 80% black. We need some black players here setting the right example.
For me, the fact that he had to put the disclaimer of "I'm not afraid of saying it" means he knows something is coming.
Well, right.
Yeah. I don't know what that means.
I mean, it's one of those ones where, like, you kind of get what he's trying to say.
But don't say
but
it.
But just, no.
Yeah.
Just shut up.
Exactly.
I mean, the implication that young black players...
need.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just bizarre.
You'd never say it about a white player. Basically, that's how I think about it. Would you substitute the word black there with white and everyone would be happy? I'd be like, why would you say that? So
right.
Yeah.
Strange. Very strange.
Very strange. But more strange... not strange, to be honest. everyone can see this coming a mile away. Is the Boca Juniors and River Plate... Derby, I guess.
Oh boy.
Oh boy. Oh boy.
The Super Classico.
Yes. It was unbelievable. It was like, I think it was like at 10 p.m. here or whatever this time. I wasn't watching it, but I was like scrolling through Twitter and I was like, oh my God, the game's on fire. I'm like literally? Yeah.
Yes.
So what happened was the, which sets of fans? The Boca fans.
Yeah.
Pepper sprayed River Plate players as they walked through the tunnel because those balloon tunnels, they actually. What, like, they made the hole, they cut through it, and then pepper sprayed them.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
That can't happen. That can't be allowed to happen.
It did.
Like, it did. The tunnel is there for protection, and they've just cut through
it. It's made out of balloons.
I know.
You need a, like, if it's the game in Argentina like this, you need, like, a cage. A steel cage of a tunnel.
Yeah.
But, anyway, so Boca got fined $200,000.
Now, that is a proper fine.
That is a proper fine. Out of Copa Libertadores.
Yep.
And a 5-game behind closed doors. That is a big, heavy fine. That is big.
No, that's
like to get kicked out of the competition.
This is excellent. I mean, what happened was violent and it's terrible. It wasn't racist abuse, and we've seen from racist abuse fines of like piddly amounts, right? So hopefully this will be a reasonable deterrent. I mean...
No, they don't care because the fans don't pay the money, so it doesn't matter.
Well, right? True, but if it has a negative impact on the club, maybe, I don't know. There was a section of Boca's fans that apologised to River Plate.
Yeah.
There's also a section of them that pepper sprayed their players, so, you know.
That's true.
Next.
Yeah.
Timothy Sherwood.
Mm.
Lovely. He's been doing so well, it's been hard to get him in Mumu, but fortunately, he said after the 6-1 defeat who was it?
Southampton.
Right. He said after the 6-1 defeat, when I came here, we had 1 foot in the championship, and now we've got 1 foot out of it.
So nothing has changed.
So nothing's changed, Tim.
It's like people would say, I have turned this around 360 degrees.
Yeah, exactly.
That's brilliant.
Good stuff.
He's always great for these kind of things. Last but not least is Livermore. I don't even know what his first name is.
Jake.
Jake Livermore. More like Coke Livermore at this point. So he was tested positive for cocaine and suspended by Hull. And then when I asked you, Alex, why would he do that? You said, well, he's rich and bored.
I can't think of it. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
Someone on Twitter said if you played for Spurs and Hull, you'd also do cocaine. That's just another angle of looking at it. Right.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, Michael Dawson might object. He seems like a pretty teetotal kind of bloke.
Yeah.
Just bored, or maybe he's like really antisocial and like nervous and needed to be, you know, social and
or maybe
he has trouble talking to girls.
Just playing next to Huddleston.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I think that's a definitely big moo moo.
He needs to do so much running for Huddleston that he needs the extra like pep.
Yes. Brilliant. So quite a bit of moo moos, but you know, we're always happy. The more the merrier.
Forza la Juve! Man, this is definitely the champions, a team versus individuals. Three players worth 300 million, Rodriguez, Bale, Ronaldo. This is team, man. They can't buy passion. They can't buy loyalty. They can't buy determination. They can't be team. Bale's agent coming out and saying that they don't pass to him. Ronaldo being selfish when he doesn't get the goal. This is not how you play football, man. This is not how you play football. This is, we showed them defense. We showed them passion. Gigi Buffon, did you see Vidal? Oh my days, orgasmic.
All right, so that starts off our Champions League segment really well. That was Tarek, who was celebrating Juve's, defeat of Real Madrid and going to the final. So passionate, so Italian.
Was he a Juve fan? I couldn't tell.
Gigi Buffon. But yeah, he was I was talking to him right after the game, and he just was ecstatic. I mean, Juve fans were waiting for like 11 years to get to a semi, let alone a final.
Yeah, I mean, with the Calciopoli, the relegation, coming back, winning a couple of leagues in a row, the losing Conte, which everyone thought would be a massive blow.
Playing good football, to be honest.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's fantastic. And the neutrals are so happy to see Juve in the final.
True. It's a breath of fresh air. It's a different team than the usual, right?
Yes. And we'll see. The final will be two very kind of different philosophies and different styles. And it should be a great clash.
Yeah, so just more specific about the game. Morata, again, scoring one in each leg. Fantastic for him. Again, didn't celebrate. People were irked about that. Ronaldo got a penalty. Bale, though, I mean, when I suggested that he had a bad game, people said, well, he was the only one trying, so it looked like he had a bad game because he missed. But at the end of the day, like, yeah, sure, you tried, but, you know, for $100 million, don't try, you do, right?
Yeah, I mean, we've been discussing it for a few weeks. His, you know, his confidence is clearly really low, and chances that he would have otherwise scored are just not going in. I mean, that header at the back post, kind of inexplicable. He was there, he was over the ball, and then there was the volley. It's difficult. I mean, what you can say for him is that he doesn't hide. He keeps putting himself in the positions to score, but it's just not happening for him.
So that's them out of the... No more la... Well, I mean, what's 11 in Spanish? Diese uno. I mean, it's not that decima anymore. Where does that leave Ancelotti? I mean, he's as we're going to speak in the La Liga segment, he's not going to win anything this season.
He's not, and you know what happens to Real Madrid managers that don't win anything?
Or win
anything. Yeah. I mean, frankly, 2 years is just about as long as you can expect to be at Real Madrid.
Yeah.
The bonfire has been set.
Mm.
You know, should they give him more time? Probably, because there really aren't many options out there in terms of replacements.
Well, we can go through them. I mean, Benitez is one.
Sure, but I just feel like they've had so many chances to employ him that they've chosen not to.
Okay, so I'm going to keep telling you names and you tell me why not, okay? That's Benitez. Okay. Klopp.
I just don't think he'd agree to do it. I mean, he's not their type of person anyway.
I swear.
Doesn't speak Spanish.
Unai Emery, and this is just for Bernie because he's been banging on about him.
He'd be a decent shout, but he'd be one of those...
He's not like, a Galactico.
He's not a Galactico, so he'd have no authority. He'd be a bit Pellegrini-ish. I think he should manage Manchester United.
I like that.
At some point.
Zidane? It really leaves him.
I mean, the thing is, he's going to get the job. Whether it's this time or next time, he's going to get it. But he's done absolutely nothing to deserve it. He was in like a technical director role.
Can I remind you of Juan de Ramos?
What about him?
Well, he was Tottenham boss. He did horribly, and then they still employed him.
Yeah, but at least he was a manager.
Well, okay.
Zidane is like...
Okay, so as long as he's a manager.
He's done really badly with Castilla. Mm. He's had, a few months in that role. He's failed to integrate Odegaard. Like, the guy has nothing on his CV that suggests he'll be a good manager. He'll still get the job at some point.
And I hate the idea that it would tarnish his kind of Real Madrid legacy if he came in and did bad.
Exactly.
It's a dangerous situation for him.
Yeah.
But anyways, so like you said, the final is two very different teams. Juve is one of them, and then Barca is the other. Although they lost to Bayern.
Yeah.
They still scored two goals at the Allianz Arena, which was good enough.
Yeah. Go ahead.
The highlight of the goals for me was that the Messi, Suarez, Neymar trio all had pre-assist, assist, and goal, with Neymar scoring both, Suarez both assists, and Messi both pre-assist. It just shows that they're really clicking well.
Yeah, I mean, if we go through the goals, Benatia early on gave everyone the impression, because they scored so early.
6 minutes.
6 minutes, so you think there's plenty of time here they go. And then Barca stormed back with two goals, and they just made them look so easy.
It did.
And what I loved especially about the first one was Messi, beautiful through ball to Suarez. Suarez, perfect cross, and Neymar slides it in. And Neymar, being the goal scorer, had to run over to celebrate with Suarez and Messi, who were already celebrating their setup. It was just lovely.
You're right. And then Lewandowski and Müller scored the other two for Bayern. Lewandowski's goal was fantastic.
Damn, man.
He killed Mascherano.
With a broken face. That's some vision.
Yeah, it was a great goal to see. Bayern, right now, in general, are just in a bad run of form. They lost two games in the league before and after this game.
Yeah.
Pep is not in the best of moods. People aren't really, seeing this whole hopeful Pep thing as they did last season or the beginning of the season, and Götze is also getting a lot of stick. I don't know. I think for Bayern, a lot of the big heads up there speak too much, like the whatever Beckenbauer's in them. And
yeah, Rummenigge, Beckenbauer, Osama. It's true. I mean, they put pressure that doesn't need to be there on Guardiola. And, you know, we heard this week it came out, Rafa Honigstein was saying that Guardiola actually wanted Neymar.
Yes.
And the talking heads, as you say, convinced him to get Götze instead. And Götze, I mean, he's a great player, hasn't just
but the Germans like their Germans.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
Yeah, not nationalistic at all.
No. This is new.
Yeah, it's a new thing. but it just hasn't worked out, and it's an expensive
again.
Signing. Again. It's an expensive signing not to go well, you know.
Yeah, right.
I mean, Pep will stay for another year. He keeps insisting that's the case. And basically, he's just got one more chance to win the Champions League.
Pep, speaking of Pep, him and Messi were going down the tunnel at halftime, and according to some lip readers and blah, 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 Pep said, I'm glad you're back, and Messi said, I've never left.
Yeah.
And I don't know if Messi has that kind of skill of like retort, you know?
Yeah, he doesn't look like a witty guy.
No, he doesn't. Yeah. But if he did, then props, because that was a good response.
Yep.
Yeah. Scouting report.
Toni Kroos.
Safe, boring, just the football equivalent of Coldplay, white bread, a Fiat. Just doesn't do it for me.
La Torta, or
who?
Something, you know, La Liga.
Oh, La Torta, like
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
No, that's cool.
Yeah. So two games, really. Well, that will do, I think.
Yeah, just the two games. We can start with the less important ones. Get out of the way, Madrid Espanyol.
Ancelotti banned from the pitch, up in the director's box with a cigarette.
Mm-hmm.
Lovely image. Unfortunately, a Ronaldo hat trick. Well, yeah. I thought it was unfortunate.
You know, I just wanted to see the celebrations because of all the rifts that we've heard recently between Ramos and, you know, and Ronaldo and the squad in general. I wanted to see what kind of celebrations they do. And Ronaldo's second goal celebration was quite emphatic.
It was. But yeah, allegedly Ramos is kind of sick and tired of his individualist nonsense. I mean, you would have thought, I certainly wouldn't be able to deal with someone like that.
No.
I would have thought, and I know he wins some games and what have you, but I would have thought this backlash would have happened a long time ago. But
well, I mean, he did score a hat-trick, guiding them to a 4-1 win. But they always had an ear and an eye on the other game, really. That was the more important Atletico Barcelona for the league title.
Yep. One moment of Messi magic in an otherwise fairly dull game that Atleti just kind of ruined in the way that they do. What a goal. What a goal.
We saw this together. We were watching the game together. And
you nearly fell off the seat.
Yes, it's because when I see that goal, there's no time. There's no space. Yeah. There's so many legs in his way. There's a keeper as big as Oblak.
Yeah.
So that ball had to be exactly where he put it, which is a side netting right next to the post.
Yeah. He's operating in a different dimension. Yeah. It's just the physics are different.
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
I enjoyed that immensely. But yeah, so they've beaten Atletico 1-0, won the league. That's it. That's great for them because they can rest players next game before the Champions League final.
Yeah.
Also, there's a couple of interesting stats. I think 17th of May 2014, Atleti win the league at Camp Nou. 17th of May 2015, Barcelona win the league at
the Calderon.
Yeah, yeah. So
lovely symmetry. And Thomas Vermaelen. Winning La Liga, I mean, I don't think he'll get a medal, but winning La Liga without playing a game. And last season won the FA Cup with Arsenal without playing a game.
He's got as many La Liga trophies as Ronaldo in the last 6 years. So it's pretty
impressive.
Yeah.
He's forming a niche there.
That's true.
Winning things without playing.
I hope he plays in that last game.
Yeah.
He's fit now.
I mean, come on.
Yeah.
So what, Vermaelen, Bartra, like...
Yeah, whatever. And then Pedro can score like a hat trick.
Yeah,
you know.
Lovely.
But yeah, it's pretty exciting. I mean, really quickly, because the time is running out, but Barcelona started the season in horrible form. The squad didn't seem to get along. Lucho and Messi weren't seeing eye to eye. Suarez couldn't kick a ball. Like, there was so much going wrong. And it's not just Barca were bad. Madrid were on course to winning every single trophy under the sun in 2014. Like, they looked unbelievable. And then to turn it around is a great feat.
I mean, what's especially incredible is that the turnaround happened right after that supposed bust-up between Lucho and Messi. And it really looked at that point like there was too much damage done.
Yeah.
Like that Luis Enrique would be gone, that someone else would have to come in and save the situation. And instead, whatever meeting they had was just, I mean, it's just unbelievable. They've become the best team, you know, they, under Pep, they were the best team in the world.
Yeah.
And they've become that again now, in a slightly different way, granted, but they've become that again.
I agree, and before we move on, it's just, I have to say that, to me, thinking of Barca not winning anything two seasons in a row, because last year they didn't win a single trophy, it would be too much, I think, for them. They have to turn it around. Madrid this year are the ones that aren't going to win a single trophy.
Yep.
But, you know, credit to them. They've done great, and they've done it in a different style, like you said. So we've seen, like, the last four La Ligas under Pep or whatever were all the same style of play. This one was kind of a new, whatever people call it, a new...
Well, it's slightly more direct, a little more aggressive.
Yeah, it's a new project, a new set of players. So congratulations to them. Moving on to our other segment, which you referred to in the intro.
Toronto FC.
Yes.
Lost last week very disappointingly to Houston at home in the home opener. This week travelled to New England. Obviously, Jermaine Defoe would have thought that was a horrendously long journey. But, travelled to New England to play the Revolution, and despite Altidore going off injured, ended up with a decent and very respectable 1-1 draw.
I think a third game on the road where they haven't lost. That's quite a big deal for them, to not lose three games like away.
Well, they played so many games on the road, it's now
true.
Like being at home.
Right.
So, Fortress?
Fortress.
Road Fortress.
Yeah, unbelievable. I mean, all you have to do is stick Altidore in front of anything and it becomes a Fortress.
True.
So, yeah, they're... I mean... We're going to have, well, not going to have to, but as in, like, we're going to be watching them a lot now in the summer as all the other leagues die down. Champions League ends in, like, June 6th or whatever.
Yeah.
So we're going to be focusing a lot on TFC in the coming podcasts.
Absolutely. And I've had a lot of criticism for Michael Bradley, both this season and last season, in that I feel he suffers from Gerarditis. Like, he just tries to do everything.
Right.
And he can't do that, at least not while, you know, maintaining a decent position. But he scored a brilliant goal.
Oh, it was fantastic. He got past like three players all on his right. And then as he was kind of pushed off the ball, put it in the bottom left. Great from him. The other guy that stood out is Kanapka. He was the sub keeper. And it looks like a lot of fans want him to keep his spot until he makes a mistake, because he looked fantastic. And every time he plays, he's looked pretty good.
Yeah, and another one with an excellent beard.
Yes, who apparently said he's not going to shave it off. Even though... this is the whole beard thing going on. He's like, I'm not going to shave it off. I'm going to keep it. That's cool. Whatever.
Well, good for him.
Yeah.
Elsewhere, France, PSG, champions.
Si.
Félicitations.
Oui.
Félicitations. I mean, that was somewhat predictable. Looked shaky at the start. Marseille did very well.
It did.
Lyon
yeah.
came into it. But, you know, money talks.
Money talks, that's true. And I think they won the Champions League now. I mean, at least... to go as far as possible. Like, problem is they keep facing Barca, and what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But I think their next aim now, it's just like City. The money always starts with the league, and you get one or two league titles, and you're like, okay, man, like, I'm done here. I need Europe. Like,
yeah, basically now they're just going to have a rotating cast of managers until one of them wins the Champions League.
Or the owners give up, and that's it. PSG goes back to regular.
It's an odd position to be in. Like, you win the league really, you know, fairly easily. That's not a thing anymore.
Yeah.
There's only one thing to really
It's literally
for,
not cool. It's hipster. It's like, it's not cool anymore.
Yeah.
Like, that's it. I actually wanted to quickly talk about the English playoffs, the championship playoffs.
Yes. Norwich beat Ipswich in the, what some people are referring to as the Old Farm Derby, which is great. Spanked them, and so they're in the playoff final with Middlesbrough, who beat Brentford. Brentford would have been a lovely story had they won that, but Middlesbrough are just too strong. Aitor Karanka doing an excellent job there. So that playoff final is going to be an epic game,
as
the,
usual.
The teams only finished 1 point away from in the league, which is great, because we were discussing the playoffs, and it's like, it's not really cool when the teams in the final finished, you know, 9 points.
Yes,
or 10
the
points.
Sixth team or whatever. You're right, but it's one point apart. So this is a very very balanced game. I always enjoy watching the Championship playoffs, really.
Yeah.
It's a lot of fun.
And Norwich with a 33-year-old manager.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Oh, Pep. Hashtag Pep.
Hashtag. And he's bald, too.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
He's just stressed about possession, maybe. last thing in our other section is the Europa League. The final is Dnipro and Sevilla. Dnipro, it's not a huge shock, but it is a shock to take Napoli out. I was expecting Benitez, with his great cup record, to go through with Napoli. They didn't. Sevilla, on the other hand, smashed Fiorentina 5-0 on aggregate. Should be exciting, but Sevilla should really come away with this. this.
They should. The only caveat is that I looked into the company that owns Dnipro. They're called Privat Group.
Okay.
And they basically own and control the whole of Ukraine. So, you know, if they wanted to sort out the result of this game, they probably could.
Pretty doable, eh?
That's all I'm saying.
Okay.
They probably could.
Let's not insinuate anymore.
No.
Thank you for downloading the KoshCast. Get in touch at underthekoshblog@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter at under_thekosh. And for articles, predictions, and the full experience, go to underthekoshblog.com.